Good to be back home, be able to preach without an interpreter. That was different. I have a lot of respect for the people who do that all the time. That's very difficult to do. I would run off and leave my interpreter and have to wait on him. And I looked at him one time and he was just sitting there like, I can't remember all this. So we begin to break it up into smaller pieces, and we did all right. This morning I want to speak to you on the subject of driving out the Canaanites. The Lord laid on my heart that one of the problems that we deal with as Christians is having things in our life that He never intended to be there. And God wants us, just like the children of Israel were to drive the Canaanites out of their land and not mix and mingle with them, God wants us to drive out of our lives all the things of this world so that we do not have those interfere in our life. This morning, before we get into our text in Joshua 17, 11 through 13, I want us to look back over to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll begin reading with verse 1. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members. Mortify means to kill. Kill therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now that is the admonition in the New Testament. Now let's look at the Old Testament example here of the same thing in Joshua chapter 17, beginning with verse 7. And the coast of Manasseh was from Asher to Michmethath, that lieth before Shechem, and the border went along on the right hand unto the inhabitants of Entupah. Now Manasseh had the land of Tupah, but Tupah on the border of Manasseh belonged to the children of Ephraim. And the coast descended unto the river Cana, southward of the river. These cities of Ephraim were among the cities of Manasseh. The coast of Manasseh also was on the north side of the river, and the outgoings of it were at the sea. Southward it was Ephraim's, and northward it was Manasseh's, and the sea is his border. And they met together in Asher on the north, and in Issachar on the east. And Manasseh had in Issachar and in Asher Bethshean and other and her towns, and Iblim and her towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Taknak and her towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, even three countries. Yet the children of Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word, we're made to realize that we, like the Israelites, have often failed to drive out the Canaanites out of our life. And Lord, I pray that this morning you would open my understanding and open the understanding of all that are here, and give us the wisdom of your word that we might know how to drive out all of the evil that we have embraced. Lord, I pray that you would set us free by your word. Remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. And use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now he begins by showing us the great gift that God gave to Manasseh. Here is this land. It was a gift from God. And he said before they ever went in to inhabit the land, nobody shall be able to stand before you. Everywhere that the sole of your foot touches is yours. You can drive them out. They cannot stand in front of you. I will drive them out for you. He said, now I won't drive them out all at one time so that the animals, the wild animals, don't take over and be a problem for you. I'll drive them out little by little. Now that was the problem. You see, they became attached to those people who lived there. They were their neighbors. They became friends. And because of that, there was some benefit of having them in the land. And we make the same mistake when we begin to embrace the things of this world that seem like good things. We begin to take on some of the things of the world. We begin to hold them dear to us, and we love the world rather than loving God. And it's hard for us to drive them out because way down deep in our heart, we really like those things. Let's look at the gift, verses 7 through 11. The coast of Manasseh. Now, this coast was what God had bordered them with. They said, this is your land right here. This is what God has given to you. The coast of Manasseh was from Asher to Michmethah that lieth before Shechem. And the border went along on the right hand unto the inhabitants of En-Tappu. Now Manasseh had the land of Tappu, but Tappu on the border of Manasseh belonged to the children of Ephraim. And the coast ascended unto the river Cana. Southward of the river, these cities of Ephraim are among the cities of Manasseh. The coast of Manasseh also was on the north side of the river, and the outgoings of it were at the sea. Southward it was Ephraim's, and northward it was Manasseh's, and the sea is his border. And they met together in Asher on the north and in Issachar on the east. And Manasseh had in Issachar and in Asher Beth Shean and her towns, and Iblim and her towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and her towns, and the inhabitants of Taanach and her towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, even three countries. Now, God gave every bit of this to them. This does not belong anymore to the inhabitants of the land. The Canaanites no longer possess the land because God has given it to Manasseh. Now let me make a comparison in our lives. When we receive Christ as our Savior, Jesus sets us free so that we do not have to dwell with the citizenship of the sinful flesh that we're born with. God has set us free. He tells us that we no longer are under the dominion of the flesh. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. God gives us that. It is a free gift right from the first day that we are born again. But he does not take it away instantly. And we have to learn how to deal with the things of this world so as to put them in the proper perspective. You remember what he says in Ephesians, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's important. You see, we will never be able to drive out the Canaanites as long as we're in love with the Canaanites. As long as we see benefit from cohabitating with the Canaanites, we're going to have a hard time driving them out. We're going to feel sorry for them. We're going to nurture them. And so he tells us right off, the way you're going to have to do this is you're going to have to not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Set your affections upon things above, not on things on the earth. If we don't do that, we can forget the rest of it. If we don't start with our heart turning away from the world, then our flesh will never turn away from the world. So we have here a possession. Listen to Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 through 33. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou wilt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Now let's stop right there for a minute. Notice he gives us a condition. He says, if you resist me, then it's not going to go well for you. But if you embrace me, then I will be an enemy to your enemies. So many times people say, I have this sin in my life that I can't get rid of. And if you dig down deep enough, you'll find out that there is something in this world that they're hanging on to. And whenever they're hanging on to this world, the Bible says friendship with the world is enmity with God. God will not drive out your enemies while you are in love with your enemies. First thing is to get rid of that affection for the world. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their back unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand. And thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Now understand what he's saying. I have given you a possession, and there's conditions upon you claiming that possession. He says to us, we have been set free. When the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. We are all set free in Christ Jesus, but there are conditions upon us living in that freedom. He says, as you grow and as you are more able, drive them out. And from day one, he cautions them. He says, now I'm not going to drive them out immediately because the wild animals will take over. And whatever is gone out of your life, something is going to replace. And he says here, don't form an allegiance with the Canaanites. Don't fall in love with the world. There are things of this world that Christians should have nothing to do with. And when we fall in love with the world, then along with that, it causes us to sin. You see, cause and effect is real important here. What causes Christians to sin? It is affection for the world. And whenever we have a love for the world, now you say, well, what does the love for the world look like? It may be that you're in love with your possessions. It may be that you're in love with your money. It may be that you're in love with some of the pleasures that you see no problem with. The Bible says that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. There's no room for us to have affection for this world. And if we have affection for this world, then it's going to start coming out as sin. We have to deal with the affection first. We have a blessed privilege as Christians, folks. If we meet the conditions, then we have a blessed privilege. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 11 through 16 with me. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let's stop there. He says, accept the fact, reckon with this fact that you are dead to sin. Now, you may say to yourself, well, I don't feel dead to sin. Well, the truth is you are dead to sin if you're a Christian. Does that mean that you can no longer sin? Well, let's go ahead. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Now look what he says. We're dead to sin. But in order for us to live in that deadness to sin, we have got to get rid of everything that has to do with that sin. What I have seen happen down through the years among Christian people is that we just keep gravitating toward the things of the world. We see some things in the world, we say, oh, that's really bad. That's terrible. They ought not to be doing that. But then the next generation comes along, and those are the things that are accepted, and then the world's a little further down the road, and we say, oh, that's bad. They ought to not be doing that, and we're doing what they shouldn't have been doing years ago. We just keep gravitating in that direction. And we have to be very careful of that. The Bible says that we're not to love the dainties of the world. The things of the world that appeal to our flesh, we must get rid of. Because the affection for the world opens us up to sin. He says, don't you understand? Whoever you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are. Sin takes over when we yield to the world. When the world calls to us, and there's things in this world that we will not give up. You remember the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus? He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, keep the law. He said, I've done that from my youth up. He said, one thing thou lackest. Go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. Now the Bible says, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Now you see, the problem was not his possessions, it was his love of the possessions. He wasn't willing to turn it loose. When he gets down to, I'm going to serve the Lord, except for I'm not going to turn this loose. Whatever it is in your life that you love of this world that holds you in sin is going to plague you all of your life. You've got to turn it loose. You've got to let it go. And whenever you begin to turn loose of those things, you'll find that those things are not good things. They're bad things. The good things are the things of God. God gives us peace. The world gives us turmoil. Whatever you own will soon own you. And whenever you give yourself over to these things and let things replace God in your life, they become your God. The Canaanites dwelt in the land with those of Manasseh. And they became friends with them. You say, well, that was okay. They made friends with them. They visited over the fence. They had parties, invited the Canaanites over, and they began to be friendly with them. But God said, don't do that. Do you know that our only purpose in mixing and mingling with the world is to witness to them for Christ? We're not here to make friends with the world. We're here to evangelize the world. The world will lead you astray if you allow the world into your life. Paul said, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. You see, our citizenship is in heaven. How do we know what things corrupt us? Well, first off, anything that you can't turn loose of real easily, you're hanging on to. Job is a picture of a man who had stuff, but stuff didn't have him. He said, God gave me that. God took it away. That's fine. Not a problem. You see, it's not about having stuff. It's about loving stuff. And the way you know is how hard it would be for God to prize it out of your hands. If God can't take something that he has given to you back, then you're hanging on to it too tight and you're loving the world. And that gives the devil a foothold in your life. And you can tell if there's something like that in your life, if there's sin in your life that you just cannot get rid of. Because sin will not have dominion over you unless you are in love with the world. It can't do it. But he says, don't let sin reign in your body, because you can do that too. And that comes through loving the world. Now we have a promise. Listen to the promise of John 8, 30 through 36. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? What were they hanging on to? Their family lineage. They didn't want to turn that loose. We are Abraham's seed. We have a promise from God that the seed of Abraham is going to bless the whole world. We are the children of Abraham. The Lord said, you're not the children of Abraham. Abraham loved God. You hate me. He says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Let me ask this morning, are you free from sin? Can you walk away from temptation? If you can't, what are you holding on to? You see, the Israelites could not turn loose of what they were hoping would work for them. They could not turn it loose, so therefore they were in bondage to sin. There are so many things in this world, so many toys that the devil dangles in front of us that we just will not turn loose of, and it keeps us in bondage to this world. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. You can't have both. Now I want you to see the growth. God expects us to grow. God leaves some of the problems in our land so that we can submit to him concerning those problems. Look at verse 12. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Now at this stage, they had no power to drive them out. These are baby Christians in our analogy here. And there, it takes growth. We have to grow to the point where we can drive them out. But along that time, they must remain enemies. Now, this is important. You see, you may not be able to overcome sin in your life at some stage in your life as you're growing, but you've got to always see that as your enemy. It can never become your friend. Whatever we embrace and whatever we hold on to, that will hold us down. And we will never be free while we love the things of this world. God gives us mercy when we are baby Christians. Listen to 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You see, there comes a time when God expects us to grow up. If we have a baby and that baby needs milk, and we give that baby milk, that's a wonderful thing. But when they get to be about 25 and they're still having to be fed milk, there's a problem. And so God says to us that there must come a time when you grow out of this. And no matter where you're at in your spiritual life, you should be growing toward maturity. You should be adding to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance godliness, and on until you reach maturity. And in order to do that, you must not get sidetracked by falling in love with this world. Well, I can't be a good Christian, so I'll just be a good worldly guy. I'll just be a good businessman. I'll just be this or whatever. And we get so involved in the world that we forget to grow in the Lord. We get entangled with the affairs of this life. I want you to hear the message that God has for every one of us, baby Christians, all the way to maturity. The message is this. 1 John 1:5-7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Understand here that if this world has a hold on you, no matter what stage of life you're in, if this world has a hold on you, your job is not finished yet. You must grow more and you must become more mature. Do not get settled and satisfied with sin in your life. You're not through yet. You see, the biggest problem for Christians is we live with sin and we accept it and we just go on with our life. Everybody sins. God will get over it. Doesn't work that way, folks. God wants us to continually be striving and praying and studying his word so that we might put all of these Canaanites out of our life. There's never a time to coexist with the world. Now, what's the method? You say this morning, Brother Allen, I want to put all these things out of my life. I want to get rid of them. What do I do? Well, Peter tells us here. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now understand, he says we can be partakers of the divine nature. We can have Jesus live his life through us. We can be set free from sin. Don't ever let anybody take that away from you. You have that right to be free from sin. God has given you that precious promise. Look at verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence. Now that is an important phrase. Giving all diligence. That's where your effort is to be. Giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off. and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, folks, I believe with all my heart that we are getting near the end of the church age. I think that the rapture is right around the corner. I think that God is preparing us to meet him. And we do not want to meet him while we have all these sinful habits in our life. God has told us to kill those things, get rid of them. Every time God tells us to do that, he enables us to do that. If we are still living with sin, it's because of an error on our part. He says to give all your diligence, not to making money, not to laying up store on earth. Give your diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge temperance. Just keep on growing. Because if these are in you and abound, you're not going to fall. But you see, if we get complacent, we get happy with our situation. Just give me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. I don't have to have the biggest mansion. Well, that sounds all pious and good, but the truth is, the Lord said, lay up your treasures in heaven. Set your affection upon things above. Don't be satisfied with just a cabin in the corner of Glory Land, because that's not what God has called you to. God wants us free from sin. 1 John chapter 2 says, my little children, these things have I written unto you that you sin not. The standard for the Christian is sinlessness. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That's a safety net. That's not an excuse. You see, God wants us to learn how to possess our vessel by the grace of God. God wants us to learn how to live without sin in this life, to be free from sin. And he has given us the wherewithal to do that. It is not okay for us to be cruel one to another. It is not okay for us to slander one another. It is not okay for us to use God's name in vain, or to listen to people on the television that use God's name in vain, or go to movies where things are there that God would not approve of. All those things are evil, and God says we must put them away from us. You say, well, a little of that doesn't hurt anything. Then you are a friend with the world, and it will always hold you in sin. It is time that we get serious with God. The Bible tells us that we are to separate. Now listen to what he says here. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Well, let's go back and read our text here, verse 13. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxing strong, now get this, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but they did not utterly drive them out. This is a slap in the face to God. When God gives us the grace, gives us the wisdom, gives us the knowledge, we say, Lord, show us how to be free from sin. And he shows us, and then we say, well, I don't want to be that free. I don't want to be that free. We can make a lot of money off these Canaanites. Well, they'll have to pay us tribute. We're in control of them. We can determine what they do. We'll just keep them here, but we'll charge them for living here. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. God says, separate. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You see, God has called us to separate from the world. There are things in this world that if you tolerate them, they will lead you into sin. You have to examine your heart. You don't need a set of rules. You know, I can sit up here and make a set of rules that God has given me, but they may not work in your life. But what you've got to do is sit down with God and say, what things in my life are pulling me into sin? And get rid of them. In my life, I had to cut the cord on the TV because there was too much there that was affecting me wrong. You say, well, should everybody do that? That's between you and God. If it causes you to sin, get rid of it. I care what it is. Jesus said, if your hand causes you to turn away from him, cut it off. That's serious stuff, folks. It's a whole lot easier to cut the TV cord than to cut off your hand. There's a lot of things that lead people into sin that they hang on to. They say, well, I can't afford to give this up. I can't turn this loose. If I turn this loose, it's going to cost me money. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. I won't have any fun, no pleasure. And God says, cut it off. God's serious about this, folks. Don't look around to each other and say, well, I live as good as so-and-so. You can live as good as I do and go to hell without Jesus. It's not about how everybody else is doing. The Bible says, though hand join in hand, the sinner shall not go unpunished. There is no majority rule here. God is a theocracy, not a democracy. Whatever God says is going to reign. God says we're to stop sinning. I want you to see that. Look at Romans 13, 11 through 14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Every person that claims Christianity ought to examine their life to see if there's anything there that makes provision for the flesh. If it does, get rid of it. When I was a minister to youth, I taught on a very similar sermon to this. And one of the young men came up and he had some kind of, remember the old 8-track music stuff? He said, this is bad. He said, I realize this is causing me to sin. Well, I said, well, what are you going to do with it? He said, I want to burn it or destroy it. And so when he did that, several of the other kids did the same thing. And we ended up with a pile of stuff that they wanted to get rid of because they said it was causing them to sin. You see, that's what God is calling us to. He says, don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What is provision to the flesh for one is not provision to the flesh for another. One may have no problem with something and the other does. Let me tell you, in your home, whoever is the weakest ought to make the rules. If something bothers your spouse and it doesn't bother you, get rid of it. Whoever has the problem ought to get to say, I can't deal with this. And you go along with it. Because you see, God wants us free from this world. The Canaanites are all over America, folks. There's all kinds of wickedness. There's all kinds of toys. And the connection is not directly with the sin, but that which is behind it. That which delivers it. And we have to be very careful not to just put the blinders on and say, well, I'll put up with a little of this to get this. Can't do that. We can't put the Canaanites to tribute. We got to get them out of here. We can't let the devil have access to our life. Because whatever the devil programs you to do, you're going to do. You become his servant when you sign up to be his servant. He can't force it on you, but you can sign up. And it always comes as some little thing in life that we think we will enjoy. Some pleasure. America's pleasure mad. We got the wrong heroes. You know, sports figures are our heroes. Did you know that that was one of the things that was going on when God destroyed the world? Men born of relationships that God said should never happen became heroes. And that was bad. And God destroyed the world because of it. And folks, we need to begin to sort through things in our life and be very discriminating. What does this lead to in my life? What does this cause? Because Lord, the Lord's going to come back. And every one of us is going to give account of our life before him, whether it be good or bad. You can't just say, well, I'll live with this. Like in my life, I'll live with television, but I just won't do the sin. Not going to happen. Or I'll live with whatever, I'll just overcome the sin. Not going to happen. You see, the connection has to be broken. Disconnect from whatever causes you to sin, and you'll find that God's grace is sufficient. And I want you to see how serious God is about this. Now you can say, Brother Allen, he's just getting too deep into this thing. But I want you to see how serious God is about this. Matthew 18, 8 and 9. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Folks, that's serious. You say, well, why did God say that? Because just about anything you can be thinking about this morning in your life that you think might be something you need to get rid of is less than your hand or your eye, I promise you. And God's saying, whatever it is, whatever it's going to cost you to get rid of it, get rid of it. That's how serious God is about living holy. God is not all right with our sin, folks. Yes, God forgives our sin, but he's not all right with it. The world needs the light of Jesus to come to know Christ as Savior. The world needs us to be light. We cannot put that light under a bushel, no matter what that bushel looks like. We must let our light shine. And the only way to do that is to come clean with the Lord Jesus Christ. And get rid of those things out of your life that lead you into sin. The tribes in Israel that drove out the inhabitants prospered. The ones that didn't fell into sin. That's all the information we need to know what to do. Now we're to a point of decision. Just like a lost person can sit here and listen to the gospel and walk out that back door and forget all about it, you can do the same thing. As a child of God, you can ignore the message and you can go right on living your happy-go-lucky life and face God one day with your sin. Because you'll never be free until you find the source and nip it. Or you can ask the Lord. You don't need for me to make you a list. You ask the Lord, show me what leads me into sin? And you'll get your list. And then you surrender that to Jesus and see what happens. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your goodness to us. Thank you for your word that does not leave us struggling, but gives us exact cause and effect so that we may repent. And Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us anything that stands between us and righteousness, that we might be free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.